And you may like to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing our series this morning, and we reach Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. So just a couple of verses for us to consider. It says there in verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, as we now come to look into your word, and in particular as we come to look at these verses, we pray that you would, as we've just been singing, teach us by your spirit. May you truly open our eyes and search our hearts this morning, we pray. Well, someone has said that how we live in our family says a great deal about our faith. The Apostle Paul thoroughly agrees with this thought. And it's a truth that he emphasises here in Colossians chapter 3. In fact, if we are the genuine article, that's to say if we have repented of our sins and if we've been saved by grace, if our spiritual position is in Christ, as Paul puts it, then we are going to live a life that pleases God. And this is going to show in the way that we treat other people. The difference that the gospel makes really begins in the home. And this may be the hardest place to live out the Christian life, because it's a place where we can so easily let the standard slip. If we can live holy and caring lives in our homes, then I suppose we can probably do it just about anywhere. As Pastor John MacArthur has said, "It's difficult to see how Christianity can have any positive influence on society if it cannot transform its own homes. After all, how can we hope to have a positive influence for Christ in the world if the world looks at our homes and at our families and sees no difference in the way that we treat one another?" Now, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the relationship and responsibilities between a husband and wife. And this week, as you'll probably know, we're going to consider the relationship between parents and children. So let's begin by asking our first question. What is a child's responsibility to his or her parents? Verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." In one short sentence, Paul answers a question that thousands of parenting books have discussed over the years. Where did the apostle acquire this unique insight? Was it something that he'd thought up himself? Well, no, actually, this kind of wisdom came directly from God, from the Ten Commandments, no less. In the fifth of these basic rules for living, we are told that whatever our age, there is a requirement to honour one's father and mother. And so Paul was repeating a command that had already stood the test of time. And he says it again in the sixth chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, pointing out that this command wasn't just for Old Testament folk, but also applies to us today. What's more, we see that even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, submitted to his earthly parents and obeyed them. Just to remind ourselves of that, let's just turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 41. Luke 2. And from verse 41, it says there, "Every year his parents," that's Jesus, "went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I'm sure we all know that story well. In the midst of a busy Passover festival, having thought that Jesus might be with friends and relatives, Mary and Joseph realize that he's not actually among the group that's traveling with them home from Jerusalem. And eventually they find Jesus back in the temple. And although he gives an explanation as to why he's there, there's no lip, there's no back chat. In fact, in verse 51, we're told, aren't we? "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." Jesus is the very Son of God. And if anyone could have had his way as a child, it would have been him. And yet even Jesus submitted to his earthly parents by respecting and obeying them. Why? Well, because his heavenly Father had commanded it and he wanted to please him. Yet the sad truth is, and we see many examples of this in the world around us, if a child doesn't learn to obey their parents in the home, then they're very unlikely to have any respect for authority anywhere else. As a consequence, it won't be long before the parent of an unruly and disobedient child begins to receive calls from the teacher at school, the youth leader at church, and the policeman down the street. And that's why it's so important to learn to obey our parents when we are young. And it is a process of learning, because obedience doesn't come naturally. We have all inherited sin, chosen to sin, and practice sin. And the world, the devil, and the sinful nature we're born with all conspire to keep us sinning. From day one, rebellion comes quite naturally. You don't have to tell a toddler to do anything wrong. That's their default tendency, as I'm finding out firsthand. Put something on the table and tell a child not to touch it, and what do? Go and touch it. Disobedience comes naturally to every one of us, and it's the result of our fallen human nature that we're all born with. And this means that children need to learn to be obedient, because if obedience isn't learned in the early years of a person's life, then it's going to be an absolute disaster. And for parents, well, they've got their work cut out. They're really up against it. Because sadly, the world around us tends to glamorize rebelliousness and disobedience, as seen in many of the TV programs that we have transmitted nowadays. You see, it's not an easy job raising a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It never has been. But with God's help, the diligence and commitment of Christian parents can reap a good harvest. What's more, let me just say that obedience isn't just a matter of doing and saying the right things. I mean, we can all put up a good front from time to time, can't we? Real obedience, just like real respect, is a matter of the heart. It goes much deeper than the surface. Above all, real obedience is not just an act. It's an attitude. Why should we obey our parents? Well, primarily because God commands it and it pleases him. But then there's another motivation in obeying our parents, which has to do with a special promise of God. Allow me to read the parallel passage to these Colossian verses, namely the first few verses in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and the first three verses there. The apostle instructs, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." I heard the story of a father who was going to meet a lady who was 100 years old. And he was really keen for his young daughter to meet her as well, partly so that she could say that she'd actually met someone who had reached this grand old age. And so one afternoon they went along and met her. And they spent some time chatting in the back garden and enjoying her company. And then later, on the way home, from the back seat of the car, this little girl spoke up and she said, "Dad, that lady must have really honoured her parents." "Why is that?" he asked. And the little girl replied, "Well, you know that verse in the Bible which says that if you honour your mum and dad, you'll live a long life on this earth." Well, she must have really taken that seriously. The point was well made. God does indeed promise long life to those children who obey their parents. However, this isn't an ironclad guarantee, is it? If it was, how would you explain children who die in infancy, or those many people who, despite honouring their parents, have their lives cut short? Yet it's certainly true to say that obedience does generally result in a longer, more harmonious life. And that on the other hand, a defiant attitude will result in misery and often cause people to die before their time. In other words, submission to one's parents is not only right and pleasing to God, but it's also in the child's best interests. A child who follows their parents' wise instruction will surely live a much happier, more fulfilled life than one who doesn't. And it will certainly be better in terms of quality. So how long does this submission to our parents last? Well, the command in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, the word there certainly applies to adolescents and young adults, as long as they remain in the home and are dependent on their parents for support. That's to say, until they themselves get married or establish their own homes. But even after you've moved out from under the authority of your parents, the duty to honour and respect them continues. We see this in Jesus' response to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 3 and 6. You know, these Pharisees had invented ways to try and get around this command to honour their father and mother so that they could avoid looking after them in later life. And in response to this lack of care and respect, Jesus calls these Pharisees hypocrites. Needless to say, respecting our parents is a lifelong attitude. And it doesn't just stop when we leave home. Well then, having seen a child's responsibility to their parents, we are now asked the next question. What is a parent's responsibility towards their children? Verse 21 of Colossians 3 warns, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." And Ephesians 6 verse 4 puts it this way, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Now if you think that the child's role is difficult, then just spare a thought for the parents. And not only do they have to set a good example and be diligent in raising their children by giving them regular correction and providing appropriate discipline, but they have to do it all without frustrating them in the process. Before we go any further, let me just point out that the Greek word fathers here is actually the same word which is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, which is better translated parents. So Paul is speaking to both parents here. And his instruction is, do not embitter or exasperate your children, or you'll cause them to lose heart. Now let's not forget that parents are also fallible human beings, just as kids are. And this means that although we might strive with God's help to be good parents, there are times when we slip up ourselves and get it wrong. And this is what Paul is talking about. Now, of course, we can discourage and frustrate our children in all manner of ways. But let's just consider a few of them for now. How might we discourage and frustrate our children? Well, firstly, there's the matter of excessive discipline. Now, it goes without saying that a child's natural tendency to sin requires the need for parental discipline from time to time. And although the level of correction will differ depending on a child's age and personality, you know, they might be a boisterous boy or they might be quite a mild, timid little girl, that discipline is going to vary. Being excessive by using threatening language or bullying behaviour for anyone will not only result in discouragement, but also may lead to that child developing a mean streak themselves. It's been well documented that no parent should be eager to punish their child, and that any punishment should always have the good of the child in mind. Never born out of rage, never more than necessary, and always carried out in love. On the other hand, a lack of discipline or inconsistency will also exasperate a child. Children need boundaries, don't they? And as parents, it's our duty under God's guidance to set these boundaries and to be consistent about enforcing them. We don't do our children any favours by overlooking their wrong behaviour in order to achieve a quieter life for ourselves. The reality is that in the short term, by not dealing with our child's misbehaviour, we are storing up trouble for them, ourselves, and others. As Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves." And earthly parents will do the same if they love their children, if they want what's best for them. In fact, the very next verse of Hebrews, there the writer asks, "For what son is not disciplined by his father?" You know, in the writer's mind, indiscipline doesn't even bear thinking about. If you love your children, you will correct them consistently, but not excessively. Then another way that parents provoke their children is by showing favoritism. In Genesis 25 and verse 28, we have a great example of this, or maybe a bad example of this. We read that Isaac favored Esau over Jacob, and Rebekah favored Jacob over Esau. This unhealthy tendency split the family, resulting in Esau and Jacob becoming bitter rivals, each vying for their parents' attention while seeking to outdo the other and then lying and deceiving one another. And this disastrous way of carrying on ultimately led to Jacob fleeing from his angry brother who he had tricked out of his birthright. And then Jacob goes and makes the same mistake with his own children, favouring the youngest son, Joseph, over his brothers. And this also led to much sorrow and heartache. We mustn't make the same mistake. Favouritism is bad news. So we mustn't give gifts and privileges to one whilst withholding it from another. In reality, we're all born equal before God. And as parents, we must seek to develop each child's unique talents and abilities. Then parents can also frustrate their children by having unrealistic expectations. Who hasn't experienced the pushy parent on the sideline of a sporting event, or known of those who have put unrelenting pressure on their children to achieve higher grades at school. Not that there's anything wrong with encouraging our children to do their best and reach their God-given potential. But we need to be careful that we're not placing an unfair burden on them, while perhaps wrongly trying to fulfill our own unfulfilled ambitions through them. And so we need to adjust our expectations with the understanding that our children are individuals in their own rights, with their own thoughts and aspirations. Well, in reality, there are so many ways in which we might exasperate and discourage our children, aren't there? Including all of those just mentioned, but also those of overprotection, therefore not trusting a child, or neglect at the other end of the spectrum. We might exasperate a child by constant nagging or simply not bothering to spend time with them. The fact is, parents face a difficult task in bringing up their children, in not wanting to overindulge them and spoil them on the one hand, while not being harsh with them on the other. It's not an easy task, but it is a task that God has entrusted to every parent. Now, having dealt with some of these negative aspects, let's just move to some more positive thoughts. And for this, we need to turn again to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. This parallel passage where we read, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." And here comes the positive bit. "Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Being careful not to dishearten our children, we need to actively train and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. With this in mind, Deuteronomy chapter 6, there we find, having read the Ten Commandments and been given them, Moses says from verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." For many Christian parents, this way of life seems like an impossible dream. Because let's face it, so much in our society works against us making any sort of progress. Indeed, many parents, particularly fathers, are caught up in the daily rat race. Going off to work, when the kids go off to school. And in the evenings, we may spend some time together for an hour or two, but then it's bedtime. And then in a few hours, the whole routine starts all over again, doesn't it? And yet I wonder, do we make the most of the time that we do have? After all, that's what these verses in Deuteronomy are talking about, isn't it? They're saying we should take the time to teach our children in the everyday circumstances of life. So what about our leisure time? How do we use that? Do we, for example, make an effort to do things with our children rather than just sending them off to an endless round of activities in order to keep them entertained and out of our hair? Of course, it's difficult to get the right balance, and I'm sure that most parents would love to spend more time with their children, learning, laughing, and playing together, so that discussing and applying the Bible was the most natural thing in the world. Yes, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. We just need to get our priorities right, and we just need to be deliberate about it. We need to go out of our way to involve our children in the things that we're doing. Whether it's going to a shop for something, or tidying the garden, or even going to a football match. Otherwise, we'll just become spectators in our children's lives. Or even worse, taxi drivers. I saw a wonderful example of the positive aspect of this yesterday morning as I was driving along, and there was a man on his bike and there was a little girl cycling. The man was running and there was a little girl behind him riding up on her bike. He'd obviously taken the time to invite that girl with him on his daily jog. Do we involve our children like that in our daily lives, in our leisure activities like that? Then, of course, we also, and most importantly, need to set the right example by attending to the spiritual side of family life. And this includes reading the Bible as a family, praying together, and also encouraging our children to attend church. And we can best do that by setting a good example ourselves. Because, you know, if we don't come, if we make excuses, then what does that say to our children about God and the priority that he should have in their lives? Well, there's so much more we could say, because parenting is such a big topic. And if you'd like to know more, don't forget that Anne Benton is coming on Friday and Saturday to share some further practical and helpful tips. And she is far more experienced in this whole area than I am. So we look forward to that. But before we close, let's just remind ourselves that being a parent is a long-term project. You know, we're in it for the long haul. So we mustn't become despondent when our children disappoint God at times, as we ourselves do. It may indeed take a lifetime to see our labour come to fruition. In fact, it may be that some of us may die and never see the fruit of our labour while we're here on this earth. And that the joy of heaven will be to see that son or daughter that we thought was lost coming walking towards us. Let's not forget that God is in control. So let's keep trusting and praying to him. And for now, let's strive with God's help to live consistently and faithfully, instructing our children where we can in the way of the Lord. May the Lord bless us as we seek to honour him in fulfilling this important task. Heavenly Father, for those of us who are children, we pray that you would help us to obey and to respect our parents according to your will. For we know that this pleases you. And for those of us who are parents, may we take this responsibility seriously. May we take time to play, instruct, and discipline our children where necessary. And to do it all without exasperating them. Lord, we know that we need your help in this, and so we ask for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.